Ok, quand tu veux, Martine.
Merci Brigitte. I'm Martine. I'm a very, very grateful overeater in recovery. This is my very first share as a speaker, and I'm really honored, and I'm very, very happy to be here. Thank you for asking me. I'd like to start with a prayer to bring God in it. I'm going to say the third step prayer. Please join me if you wish to. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Thy power, thy love, and thy will. May I do thy will always. Okay, so I'm an overeater. I'm 54. My story is quite boring. I have been an overeater all my life. I've always thought that I think that I was brought up to be an overeater. To give you the story, a little bit of the story, I'm Jewish. I was born of two parents who grew up as children during the war, and they both knew what hungry means. My father was in a concentration camp. He got very, very, very thin. And when they became adults and had kids, being overweight for them was a luxury. And they were food pushers, like a lot of Jews of that generation. And I remember my mother telling me that when I was a kid, I'm the youngest of three, and when I was not obeying, when I was fussing, when I was being impatient in the car, they would just give me food. And my mother told me, when you were eating, you were calm, you were nice. So she told me that when I was one or two, I was in a kid car seat, you know. We had long travel to do, and she gave me a whole bread like this, you know. And I ate for the entire journey, the whole time I was in the car. I was eating for them to be happy because I was quiet. And I really think that they taught me how to not deal with my feelings just by eating over it. And I kept on doing it. And I used to feel very, very lonely as a kid. I was very often home alone because both my parents were working. So I would come home from school and I was alone at home. So I would have a big snack. And I remember eating a lot of chocolate because I was all by myself and I could eat whatever I wanted. So it wasn't healthy snacks. And I grew up like that. And at maybe 15, 16, I began dieting, and I did all the diets in the world, probably all the less healthy ones. I tried everything. I had surgery. I had a gastric bypass, which didn't help, because when you're an overeater, you can always find something that you can digest, even if you have a gastric bypass. So all the liquid, soft things. I could binge on everything. So I had a lot of periods of my life. I was dieting in a very unhealthy way and sometimes almost anorexic because I was really eating not enough, really, really not enough. And so my weight was just going up and down, and I developed very bad health situation. I became pre-diabetic just because I'm not a sweet tooth, so it's not because I was binging on sugar. It was just because my weight was going so much and so often up and down that my insulin just didn't know what to do anymore. So I think it's quite well known that you can become pre-diabetic just because you're having a crazy food relationship. And I got, I'm 54 now, and I got it at some point. I realized that after my gastric bypass, I was 40 something. I was in my late 40s. And after I realized that my gastric bypass was not helping me, that it was not the solution I was really seeing as an ideal. If I can get that, I'll be happy. I became really, really desperate. And now in the rooms, when I hear people saying, I have the gift of desperation, at first I thought, are you crazy? You were that miserable and you call it a gift? Now I understand it because, yes, I have the gift of desperation, and it made me go on Google, and it's really funny because I knew at some point that Overeaters Anonymous existed, but I really don't remember where I heard that word for the first time. I think it was in Canada because I had the word in French in my mind. So I Googled it and I found that there were OA meetings in my city. And I thought, why not? So there was a meeting on a Wednesday, I think. I thought, okay, Martin, you're going to the meeting and you'll see what it's about and you'll decide if it's for you or not. And I could not go. I was so anxious, I could not go. So the next day, I called. There was a number to contact someone. I called that person, who became afterwards my first sponsor. And after 3 minutes on the phone with her, I felt so serene and so, my God, she knows me. She knows what I'm going through. She made me feel so comfortable and so understood for the very first time in my life. Because before that, even from medical professionals, I would just hear, eat less, do some sport, just don't eat, just don't, have some self-will. And I was just ashamed and desperate, and I thought I was weak and no good. And that person told me, it's an illness. And when I heard illness, I thought, so it's not my fault. No, it's not. Okay. She told me, we have a meeting tomorrow. It's in English, but if you're comfortable. I said, yeah, I'm comfortable with English. Okay, so come tomorrow. I'll be there. That was my very first OA meeting. I got there, and I had such a warm welcome. I live in a very international city, Brussels. It's the capital of Europe. So we have all nationalities possible. And
a minute, Martin.
Thank you. I was so welcome. People were saying, hi, how are you? What's your name? Welcome home. And I was like, what is this planet? I don't know. I don't know any other area where people welcome me like that and say, welcome home, when they just know my name is Martin, that's all. And so I sat down. They began, you know, the beginning of the meeting, the readings and sharing. And when I got, I volunteered to be timekeeper. I was, okay, I'm there. I'm going to be useful. And when I decided it was my turn to speak, I said, hello, I'm Martin. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I felt something deep inside of me doing boom, like, oh, yes, that's it. And I know that at the first meeting, some people don't know what to say, but I really felt I was ready. That's it. I'm a compulsive overeater. It's an illness. Stop being ashamed. Stop feeling lonely. You found exactly what you were looking for. So I had, that woman became my sponsor. I became to work the steps. Fortunately, in Belgium, the meetings are really small. And in big meetings, were 8 or 9. And I couldn't really, we don't have a lot of old timers, and we're only working with OA literature. We don't use the big book. And now that I do work with the big book, I really like it a lot better than only OA literature. I love the OA literature, but I like doing the step with the big book and using all the tools we can have. So with the lockdown, the meetings were on Zoom, and then I lost my sponsor and I relapsed, and I was drinking a little bit too much wine too, especially in lockdown, because I couldn't do anything. I'm a music teacher, so I'm a singing teacher, so I couldn't just work on my computer home. I had no students anymore, and I relapsed. And after some time, I joined an AA meeting and on Zoom. And I thought, yeah, that's amazing. I can connect with people all over the world. And I discovered the big book, and I joined the meetings of OA again. And I found the big book meeting that is every day at 4 p.m. And I just felt home. A meeting every day with people I can see every day and study the big book. That was such a gift. And about my relationship with God, I call my higher power God. I really felt that being brought up a Jew without really the spirituality, but with all the tradition, I really felt, I don't know what word to use, a calling to the God of my ancestors. My higher power couldn't be anything else than the God of my ancestors. And when I was in a small fellowship here in my country, I really felt that I I wanted to surrender and to give my life to God, but I don't know, I wasn't really into it.
5 minutes, Martin.
Sorry?
5 minutes.
Thank you. And after my, after I discovered the meetings here, and I had a new sponsor, and I worked with the big book, and I discovered Bill's experience with God, and I could get in touch with God. I didn't have like a white light like Bill, but I really felt that was it. And my sponsor really helped me find that relationship. And the most important thing in this program is to be able for me to surrender, to say, okay, I stop controlling my life, my choices. I'm the worst person for me to do the choices. I've been trying my whole life. I don't know what's good for me. So now I rely on the program. I rely on my sponsor. I rely on God. And I had so many signs that He is there and He is watching over me. And today I'm so, so, so grateful that I found this fellowship with friends, family from all over the world. And the pandemic is a plague, but Zoom is a blessing. I met so many beautiful people all over the world, and I really want to meet you all one day when this craziness is over, because I want to hug you. I want to really hug you and to really kiss you and stop being behind a screen, even if I have the best moments in meetings with you, and it's part of my daily routine now to contact people, to pray. I discovered two-way prayers, and I didn't know it existed, and it's an amazing experience. And I don't feel alone anymore. I don't feel desperate anymore. It's not easy. You know that this program is not easy. It's not, it's simple, but not easy, as it's said. But it's life-changing. I don't see life the same way. My relationship with my family, which is mainly my brother, my sister, my nephew, and my niece, because I had a very small family, those relationships are changing. I realized how selfish I was, how self-centered I was. I really thought that I was miserable, so they had to call me to see how I'm doing. And now I call them just say hi. And not just to ask something or to ask a question. I realize how caring for people help everybody.
1 minute.
Thank you. So I'm going to finish by saying that I think I couldn't be more grateful to Bill, who wrote the big book, to this fellowship, to Roseanne, who created OA, and to all of you, because you really are my family, and I really am home. And yeah, I just couldn't be more grateful. And I leave it to that. Thank you.